it all. Still asleep.
Dodgeball was fun.
I think we're on.
Are we on?
We got any?
We're good?
Are we good?
I don't think we're good.
Hello!
Are we good? You have yours on?
I got it, mine on. Hello.
Are we there? Lord, you know.
I really don't need a mic. I am a loud mouth. Yeah.
It just came on.
We're good.
You're good.
All right. Today we got a lot to share, and we're going to share it and see what the Holy Spirit's going to do. About two Januaries ago, obviously I've been in the missions office for, I'm in my 12th year. Actually, May 1st, I will end my 12th year and I'll start my 13th year at First Baptist full time. And a couple years ago, I just really felt impressed by the Holy Spirit, just praying and talking to Kay. I was like, I want us to live like missionaries more than we ever have in our life. Because what's a missionary? Missionary is a person who lives typically on another soil, trying to make relationship with somebody so that they can share the good news with them and see something else happen greater than themselves in advancement of the kingdom of God. That's really. You and I have friends around the world. They move to another culture. They've learned the language. They're going there, and they're literally praying for someone to make eye contact with them. Or, hey, they seem interested. Or, hey, I got their name. And after they get their name, they go and pray, and they try to then keep going back to the same spot they saw the person. The restaurant, the coffee shop, the bus stop. So then hopefully out of some exchange of life, accident, weirdness, awkwardness, or whatever, there's a conversation. And then another one, and then another one, until at some place in the scheme of God's plan, they would say, hey. And there would be an exchange of a Bible or a conversation about spiritual things or what does grace mean or trying to talk. That's what missionaries do, right? They just are trying to be in a place to advance the kingdom of God, to push forward, and they're trying to take every moment as an opportunity in which they believe that God is working in them and through them. And obviously, isn't it a novel idea that the minister of mobilization would try to live like a missionary as much as possible? I wouldn't say that we hadn't been on mission at any level, but just there was a couple years ago in January, let's just get after it. Let's just, whatever we can do, let's just try to thin out life to the much as we can and just try to embrace people that are around us. Minister them, love them, care for them, meet needs, do the awkward thing. To just see if God might use our daily conversations to see life transpire. Mm-hmm. And that was the culmination of the story that Kay told last night at HEB. We married them. It was funny. We're marrying them. We were the wedding planners. I married them. Then we were the reception host. You know, they had the little reception in the fellowship hall, and we were there in the kitchen. Like, I'm taking off the suit, putting on the apron. You know, we're bringing stuff out. And there was this one moment that the girl, she had all of her friends around, and they're most all pagan for the most part, like half Christian, maybe like grandma's a Christian type deal. And she's like, hey, y'all, hey. And we hear in the kitchen doors are closed. And we're like, oh, this is going to get good. Hey, you know, she's like, hey. And she's like, and then she just goes for it. And there's a whole group of people that she just breaks off the gospel on. I just want you to know, I'm standing there going, on the other side, if anybody would have swung the doors open, I'm like, you know, oh, never mind, here's more potatoes or whatever, you know. It's one of those moments where I'm just back there, and Kay's like, yes! She heard the gospel, she asked Christ to become her Savior, walking in this, and she stands forward and gets her whole little wedding party together, and they just break it off. Mm-hmm. And you could have heard crickets in there. It was just this moment when you're like, this is why you share the gospel with people in random situations. Mm. Because we're looking for the person of peace. Mm-hmm. Jesus sent the disciples out. If you look at Mark, he sent the disciples out two by two. Mm. Mark chapter 6. I've just been beating up Mark 6, haven't I? Mm. Mark 6, verse 6b. says, now he was going around the villages in a circuit teaching. He summoned the 12, began to send them out in pairs, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Yes, we still have that authority as well. That's a different sermon for a different moment. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a walking stick. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts. They were to wear sandals but not put on an extra shirt. And then he said to them, whenever you enter a town, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place does not welcome you and people refuse to listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they were driving out many demons, anointing many people with olive oil and healing them. That whole teaching is found also later on in Luke chapter 10. So talking about the person of peace, that you're to go into a village and you're to find the person of peace. And that person of peace has a couple of characteristics about them. One of them is they're probably going to be a person of reputation, good or bad. They're probably going to have some type of influence, good or bad. And that's exactly what happened at the checkout counter at HEB. Our little Asian friend, Jesus just blows her mind. And she goes and tells a whole group of people her oikos, her sphere of influence. That's what oikos means, is the sphere of influence, your household plus some. And she tells them, there's no way that Kay and I could have anything in our wildest dreams begin to minister to all of those people that she was connecting with. But we just loved her. Even just a few months ago, I got the baptizer. Maybe you were even there in that service. I don't know. But we got the baptizer. It was an amazing day. A bunch of those people came to witness this transformation that happened in her life. I got a phone call March 21st, their anniversary. This long, sappy voicemail from this rough and tough husband. Cheryl, I'm like, here it comes. I'm like, are you okay? He's just saying thank you for what this wedding day means and what my life means and what all this. It was just this amazing thing. So when you choose to live on mission, you're like, I'm in. Like, I'm going to advance the kingdom regardless of the circumstances or the pain or the hard part. Because let me just tell you this. To love is to suffer. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't love very well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to love somebody, you're going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And they're going to hurt you. And it's going to be this weird thing. And that's why we don't love very well. Because to love someone, to love a people, to love is to suffer. And we don't do it well. Mm-hmm. We don't suffer well. Mm-hmm. I think there is becoming a recalibration of that in the church in America. Mm-hmm. There's been more teaching on it. There's been more preaching on it. The likes of Piper and David Platt and Francis Chan, these Louis Giglio, these men that are willing to talk about loving in the midst of suffering. So there is becoming a turning of tide back to, it's okay if the ball doesn't bounce your way, that you can still love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we just really said, God, we want to be on mission with you. Mm-hmm. We want to advance the kingdom at all cost. So we want to just kind of unpack that today for you, our own story a little bit. What we believe the scriptures is pointing us to this morning. That's where we want to sit. So that God would use us to connect with one person that would connect with many people. Mm-hmm. That God would use you to connect with one person that would connect with their set of friends. That God would use you to connect with someone else, that they would connect with someone else. Because you're really not a follower until a follower gets someone else to become a follower. Mm-hmm. You're really not a disciple of Jesus until you teach someone and they teach someone to be a follower. That's really the litmus test of your spirituality and your passion for the kingdom of God. Mm. That you touch someone's life, and that person's life is going to touch someone's person's life. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about, that faithful men would be entrusted to train faithful men to be faithful men. And that's where it gets really sticky, because then you have to evaluate your life. You're like, well, I don't know. Are there people that I'm investing my life in such a way that they want to invest their lives in other people? And we see the kingdom of God advancing. So with that being said, Kay's going to pick up on a story that I was included in on the beach in Galveston, but she'll rewind it and tell a little bit of the story.
One thing I want to tell about Roxanne real quick before we move on is a cool thing happened about a couple months ago. She saw me at church and she goes, "Hey, I want you to come and talk to my mom. Will you meet with me and my mom?" And so we got met at Egg and I, and I got to hang out with her and her mom. No. But Egg and I, and we sat there for a couple days. I mean, you threw me off.
Sorry, I threw you off. My apologies.
Was it
Denny's? You can do that. 24 hours. I'm just kidding.
No, but we've had good conversations at Denny's.
We have had good conversations at Denny's. I told Kay right in the summer that we met in 1999.
It's like rabbit trail.
It's a total rabbit trail. It's not on the notes, but no. I'm going there. You brought it up. I brought it up. I told Kay in 1999, I said, you know what? I think God has spoken to me. This is totally, I can't believe I'm telling this. Are we sure we're supposed to? In Jesus' name. And I said, I think that we're going to spend the rest of our life together.
We just met.
And we had just met a couple months. And she's like, well.
That's.
I said, do what you want. It's going to happen. Back to the Egg and I.
Yeah. Anyway.
Fast.
Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to tell y'all that story keeps growing. So it's not that, you know, the Lord wants to do things and then you get to see how they keep growing and they keep growing and they keep morphing and they keep becoming bigger. And so I just wanted to share that latest update with you. But back to January when Gerald came and he said, I want us to live like missionaries. I want us to live as missional as possible. And while that was going on, I had a friend of mine that was a worker in China, and she has her families over there. They have 5 kids, and they've been missionaries there for like 6 years. And they've been serving and loving the areas in different parts of China. And so she had written this rough draft of this book, and y'all can get it on Amazon. But anyway, so she wrote this book, and she said, can I send you the rough draft? I said, sure, I'll read it, but like, I'll read for content. I will not read for like grammatical. And she was like, absolutely. So I got, Gerald printed it off the internet for me, and I just started reading this book. And it was all about life in China. It would be like, you know, kind of how Shauna Nyquist writes, where she tells you a story, and then there's a punchline in there. And so that's how it was, is that she would tell a story, make this beautiful description of an area of China or something she had daily experienced, from being a mom to just being a wife to just being a lady in China. And then it would be this punchline. And so he would find me in bed, and I would be like, laughing, you know, and he'd be like, what are you reading? I want to know, you know, because he always wants to know when there's a reaction.
Hey, I'm
me.
Recovering. I preached on that last night.
So anyways, I was reading this book, and so been reading it, you know, like 6 months and taking it in and enjoying the book. It's August of that same year. We're on the beach in Galveston letting the kids play because we love to do that. And God was just stirring something in me, because Gerald's always asking me, when are we going? What are we doing? Where are we going to go? Can we go next? Where's the next trip? I've got this. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I'm always like, ugh, you know. And so let's just be where we are right now. But the Lord was stirring something in my heart. And so we're sitting on the beach, and we're in Galveston, and I look at him, and we're talking about something else, and I go, hey, I got a question. He's like, yes. And I said, hey, what if we took the boys to China? And he goes, yep, okay. I mean, and I was like, no, did you just hear what came out of my mouth?
I'm on the phone, send an email immediately.
I mean, immediately.
Hey, friends, we're thinking about coming to China.
Yeah, can we come in September? I mean, it's August, right? Can we come in September? And they're like, well, December would be better. And so this whole thing within a 3-month, 4-month period took place, where it was really going to be, because I want you to know, you mean tell you my vision for our first mission trip, okay? And I thought this was like really big of us. So we're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to stay at the Marriott, and then we would go and play in an orphanage, you know. But this was when they were like 5 and 7. Guys, they're not even those ages yet. They're 6 and 4. But God was saying, you got to go. And for me, it felt like jumping off a cliff. That's exactly what it felt like. But it felt right to jump off that cliff. And so we did. We loaded up. Our Judah had just turned in November. He had just turned 3. And then and Jake was going to turn 5 while we were over there. And so he thought we were going to China for his birthday. So he got the best birthday gift ever. And but it was this whole journey of really, like what Gerald's saying, are we really going to live what we're saying. It was like this question of, you know, we're always at these places where we get to encourage people, go, be, do. But it was like, are you willing? And it was like, I mean, it felt like jumping off a cliff.
And it's those places in life, because God does this to us at times. I'm preaching this stuff all the time, and he's going to continue to say, are you still willing? Yeah, I'm still willing. I'll go. I'll do whatever. I'm in it. I'm in this thing to advance the kingdom of God as much and as fast as possible. And one of the things that the Lord showed me, I was just looking through my notes this past week, and I sent Kay a message, reading through my journal from when we were in China. Just the things that God was showing me. And one of the things that I'll never forget writing down there, and I want to give it to you, this is a point for you today, as we advance the kingdom of God, is that everything we carry into the future must be essential. Everything that we do and carry into the future must be essential. You're like, we, myself, right here in this season of life that God has me, and I'm preparing myself to advance the kingdom of God as much as fast as possible. And if I'm going to go forward with God, everything I carry with me must be essential. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to deal with your past. That's why you have to deal with hurts, pains, destruction, generational sin, weird things that have happened with you. You don't need any of that. Let that become part of your story, but you got to break the chains of that. That's not essential for the future. You can't take hurts into the future. You got to deal with them and walk with them. You got to surround yourself with people that are going to push you forward. I'm dealing with some men right now and some women that I'm involved in their lives, and it's weird. They are struggling with submitting themselves to people that are older than them and mentoring them and coaching them. They want to just let people who are younger than them submit to them because they're trying to build this prideful, arrogant life. Rather, I'm like, dude, you're still broken. You got issues. You're what? No, you're trying to build a kingdom for yourself. Let me tell you, there's one kingdom. His name is Jesus. You got to get out of the way of this, and you got to submit yourself to people that are older than you in life experience, not just age, but people who have experience in life and journey who get it. And they're just looking at me like, bro, you're doing stuff. Girl, you're doing stuff that you're carrying stuff into the future that's not essential. And we talk about the advancement of the kingdom of God, and we talk about the fact that you and I have been given the Great Commission. And Jesus said that all authority has been given to you. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always. There he is. He's omnipresent. He's not late. He's right there. And so as you're struggling and working through now this advancement of the kingdom, you know, talking about unbelief Friday night, talking about the things we talked about yesterday and spending time with him and being with him and talking about that we're not all knowing and we're not ever present and we're not all powerful. We now come into say, we're not going to shy back from extending the gospel. We're going to press in more than ever. We're going to press in more than ever that you would begin to even identify those people in your lives that are lost. And you'd wear their names out in prayer. I asked our Sunday school class that we teach this past week. I said, I just wonder how many of us collectively, how many people we've led to Christ this year. And I sucked the air out of the room again. I said, I'm not talking about a missionary that you supported. I'm talking about your life to someone else's life, communicating and extending and explaining and drawing forth the name of Jesus Christ in people's lives, planting the gospel in dry places and seeing him bear fruit. So we just press towards that. Say, Father, would you use us to extend your great name, to communicate the gospel around the world, in our city, and everywhere in between. God, would you use us? Because I'm just convinced that we're still here for a purpose, right? And it's not to lollygag around and bebop through life. We're here for a purpose, and that's to extend the name of Jesus to people who don't know him. And one of the anthems that we have in our house, and you've heard me say this again, I'm going to say it over, it's simplify. We just carry this anthem of the word simplify in our life. And I'm just going to tell you, life gets really complicated. Things, stuff, ideas, personas, reputation, we blow all that stuff up. We're going to be who God's called us to be. And our MO in our family, you can ask our boys, they say it a lot. is others may, but we may not. And it's set us free in parenting, godliness, leadership. Others may, but we may not. Others may have that, we may not. Others may live there, we may not. Others may eat that, but we are not. We just use it in every area of life. We know there's freedom in Christ, but there's just some level of accountability and calling that God has spoken into us. He's probably speaking some of it to you and go, okay, ah, yes. And it set us free when we begin to walk in that others may do that, but we may not. And it's this whole idea of just trying to live simple for the gospel. That we would live simple. That we would say, God, will you use me to see people come to know you? And I know many of you in here are part of that. There's no doubt. Summit has been this amazing force for years upon years of saying we will take the missional mantle forward in Houston's First Baptist Church. You've literally paved the way for multitudes of things. Mark Kohler, many of y'all know Mark and Lee. Mark, that's before they were married. He was teaching the marathon class. Were y'all married then? You weren't married then. Mm-hmm. And William Taylor, our missions pastor, said, I want to do a mission trip to Houston. And Mark, will you make it happen? They had a class called Marathon. What's it called? Marathon? Was mm-hmm. that the name of the class? Mm-hmm. It was one singles class. And he's ripping it. He's preaching. Was it Jonah you were preaching through or Joshua, one of those? He's just going for it. Mark style, you know? And all of that class gets on mission. They begin to fast and pray and hence burst the Houston Project. So now it's church-wide and we'll have 2,000 people on mission this year. There's been this movement of Summit just engaging the missional call. So I'm not speaking to you as if y'all are lazy and don't get it. Y'all are on it and get it. I'm just saying let's keep on it and let's keep getting after it. The representation of here from people who are going to Kenya, people going to Haiti, people going to Spain, people going to Guatemala. I see it. I know you. Brazil. I mean, I got it. I got it. You know, it's just this whole deal of people on mission. And we want to continue to advance his name and say, my life is not about me. It's not about my stuff. It's not about my toys. It's not about my trinkets. It's not about, well, okay, I've done one vacation now for me. I'm going to do one for God. I'm going to do two for me. I'm going to do one for God. No, it's my life for God. I'm going to do all things according to his will, for his plan and his purposes, that we would advance the name of Jesus Christ. Kay has this piece on surrender. She was telling me the other day. I just wish you'd talk about that just for a moment.
Which piece, baby?
Well, all of that whole surrender piece. I'll say it this way, and she'll come back around. The secret.
Are you talking about the China?
No.
Okay.
Maybe some of that. It may be some of that. The secret of an unsatisfied life often lies in an unsurrendered will.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I need help sometimes, guys. I was even talking to a few of the girls out there before I came in, and I've been reading this book called The Church Planter's Wife, and it's talking about different phases of your heart, and I'm not a church planter's wife, obviously, but I'm around them a lot, and it's good. It applies to all kind of ministry at hand, and one of the parts that I was talking about in there and the part that I'm in right now is will I or won't I? That's the question. Will I or won't I? Mm. Will I surrender? Will I sacrifice or won't I? Because that's really the question that's being asked every day to us as we wake up in the morning. Will I or won't I? Will I give my heart to the Lord? Won't I give my heart to the Lord? Will I encourage this friend that I know needs encouragement? Will I not encourage this friend that needs encouragement? Will I be willing to be awkwardly embarrassed? Because it's awkward. It doesn't ever get easier. Sometimes maybe, but no, not really. So it's this whole question of will I or won't I? There was this friend of mine. She became my friend. I went and got my car washed. She left a towel in my car. I saw it as I was driving away, you know, when they wipe down your car. And I was at a more, it was a smaller venue of getting your car washed. And I was driving away, and I thought, I had Judah in the back with me, and I thought, oh, I need to just throw that towel away. And the Lord said, nope, you're going back to her. And I said, I'm going back to her. And he said, yes, you're going back. But it wasn't that day because I needed to be somewhere else at that moment. And so I drove around. It was 2 days later. I was back in that area of town, and the Lord's like, today's the day, and you're going to go back to her. So Judah's with me. He's in the back. I'm like, hey, buddy, stay in the car. Mommy's going to go talk to this lady real quick. So I go up to talk to her, and I say, hey, I have your towel. And she's like, thanks. And I said, you know, I wanted to throw that towel away, but I just couldn't. I knew I was supposed to come back because I was asking the Lord in the car, like, Lord, I need you to tell me what to say if I'm going to go back. And so I said, the Lord just wanted me to tell you that Jesus loves you. And tears, guys, welled up in her eyes. And she said, you know, I knew there was something different about you. She said, because I sat in your car for a long time. And I just thought in that moment, you sat in my car? You know, like, but I was awestruck, guys. And this is why I was awestruck. And I told Gerald this is because there's no empty space. It's filled with something. Either it's filled with the Spirit and the presence of God, or it's filled with demonic stuff and darkness. Your home is either filled with darkness or your home is filled with the presence of God. And she knew that something was different. And I had nothing to do about it because I was not in it, but the presence of God hovered in that car because he was ministering to her. And she said, I felt peace. Mm-hmm. And so we talked a little bit. And from that, we've built a little bit of a relationship. I've invited her to church. It hadn't worked out yet. I know a little bit of her story. But it's about time I'm probably going to be going and trying to have lunch with her. I'm going to say, will you have a meal with me? But it's those kinds of things, y'all. It's real stuff like that. Nothing is coincidence. We were at our chiropractor before we came here because all of us go, and he was telling us a story, and he said, well, isn't that a coincidence? When he was telling a story, he goes, but he looked up at me and he was saying it to Gerald, and he said, but we don't believe in that, do we? There's no coincidences. Mm-hmm. There's divine appointments.
Yes.
There's divine interactions, and he's the divine connector. He's the one that's working because you have no idea what he's doing here. I just finally, when I came to this place where I finally realized, God, I have no idea what you're doing in that person's life, but you know, maybe you want me to say something that's going to encourage them in what you're doing or awaken their eyes in what's going on. And when I just came to that realization that maybe God, you want to use me to be a conduit of love to them, then it was a little bit easier to say thanks because I wasn't so worried about saving my own face. Because I wanted to see, Lord, is there something implicit you're doing in their life that you want to make explicit? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's no empty space, y'all. What's your space filled with?
The secret of an unsatisfied life often lies in an unsurrendered will. You will or you won't? Do you have a tendency to escape or engage? May we not be a people that escape, but we engage.
And it's hard. I just need to add that.
It is hard. It's easy always to hide, to not engage, to not take the step, but that is not in line with Christianity as we know it. It's about humility coupled with boldness, humility coupled with courage. So yeah, as the minister of mobilization, there's still spots on my little whiteboard in my office. I got a whole whiteboard and it's kind of flowing over on some paper. I've got spots open. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to fill these spots. I'm believing. I mean, people are like, should we cancel flights? I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not canceling flights. We're going to keep ringing the bell. Our unreached people group in China. God's going to fill that. I thought I just needed one female. Now I think I need a male and a female. It's 10 days, June 6th through the 16th. Is that you? I was just talking to Heidi right over here. I was just challenging her. I said, what do you do? She goes, I teach HISD pre-K program, 20 pre-Ks around the city. I go, what are you doing that? She goes, I teach English as a second language. I said, what's the demographic? She goes, highly Hispanic and African-American. I said, I said, you want to go to Valencia, Spain? We're teaching 100 non-Christian families, kids that don't know the Lord, an English camp. So she's in. She just called their mama. She called her mama and said, hey, I think I'm supposed to go. And mom said, we'll move family vacation. Wow. That's what I'm talking about. I got about four more spots for there. I need filled. Granada, Spain, Rick LaRilli. Who knows Rick, right? Rick's money. Come on. And we're trying to go reach some college-age students at a retreat. I had it filled. There was 10 on the board, and it went to like four. I'm like, what in the world? So we're building that back up now. Believing that God's going to, we're on mission as a church. We're on mission as a people. We're on mission as classes. Don't find yourself being watching the river flow by and you not being a part. And a part just doesn't always go in. But let me just tell you something. Once you go, you're going to always try to find a way to get to go again. Right? Right, Siri? Right, Scott? Right? Right? Jenny, where are you at? She's straight up leaving us and going to Africa for a year. You know what her mom and dad think? Her mom and dad think she's crazy. I'm like, how old are you again? How old are you again? Your mom and dad think you're crazy because you're making a 28-year-old grown-up decision to go leave teaching. Yeah, to go spend a year in Africa to do what? Teach, love on little African kids and missionary kids. That's what we do. We're on mission. So I just want to challenge you. If you're like, I've never done any of that, I can make it happen. I'm the vetting guy. I can make this happen. I can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I just want to say, would you put a stake down and say, I'm going to live like a missionary? And you may never leave America, but you're going to live like a missionary. Mm-hmm. But you may all of a sudden start finding time that you're going and traveling. But you being a missionary in your workplace is one of the greatest places for you to continue to see God grow your class, your area of influence, that we'd be on mission. And that Summit would continue to lead the way missionally at Houston's First Baptist Church. Because y'all have it. And it's no time to put the gas, to let off the gas. I mean, I'm getting ready to go to Greece. We are in September. So there's a bunch of trafficking that's happening in Greece. Go scout that out. So we're going to get in on that. I mean, there's just so much stuff that's happening around the world. I got friends who want me to go to Middle East. We're part of this church in Egypt that's the largest evangelical church in Egypt, doing their thing like nobody else is doing it. I mean, ain't nobody going on vacation to the Middle East. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, God, we're going to do this. Whatever, or my life is in your hands. It's not in my hands. So I just want to say it's a time for us to march forward as a people of God to advance the kingdom of God. So you either will or you won't. Let's pray together.